Good morning, friends. This is Robert Turner coming to you once again for the Oaks West Church of Christ and inviting you to continue your studies with us by way of Radio Plain Talk. I have an announcement I want to make now, and I'll try to remember and repeat this in the next coming Lord's days. Brother Huey Hartsoll is coming to Burnet from Mount Olive, Alabama, to be here, to live here, and to work with the Oaks West Church of Christ as a local evangelist. He will be here, the Lord willing, on January the 20th for his first sermon in his series of works along that line. And we want to invite you now to make your plans to come and hear Brother Hartsoll. He's a Louisiana man, raised over around Hainesville. He is a man of about 53 years old, and a family man, has two girls yet with him. His other children are married. In fact, he's a grandfather. And he comes with a very lovely wife to live in our midst and to work with us in the work of the Lord here. And we feel that he'll be a great asset to our work and to the community of Burnet, the hill country, to the lakes area. We just believe that he'll be a man that you will appreciate. He's a Bible man. I've listened to him in meetings before, and I've worked with him myself doing the preaching in two different meetings. And I find his work very acceptable. The people like him. He's just plain, straightforward, all out on the table, nothing hidden or underhanded about his work. I've always found him very open in his discussions and in his setting forth the truth of the Word of God. But he does so in a very wonderful way, showing his love for mankind and his desire to lead people to heaven. And this is a thing that I believe you'll appreciate. So I commend to you Brother Huey Hartsoll, an evangelist of the gospel of Christ, who will be working with the Oaks West Church of Christ beginning January 20th, the Lord willing. Now for our next few Lord's Day mornings, when I will be taking this program, I want to discuss with you some things concerning the Bible itself. Just the Bible as a book. Several years ago, I went into a veterans hospital in Arizona. For the first time, I was to speak to a number of boys who had been crippled or maimed in the war and who were there just waiting to have someone talk to them about most anything, really. They were just anxious to hear what you had to say. And I asked them the Sunday before I was supposed to speak to them, "What would you like for me to talk about?" Somebody spoke up and said, "Preacher, what about telling us about the book itself?" Said, "We don't know much about the Bible as a book." Said, "What about telling us about it?" So I began like this: "Fellas, this is the Bible." And I just held up the book in their midst. I said, "Now this book has two parts in it, a New Testament and an Old Testament. That simply means that there's a portion of this book that pertains to things of a past dispensation, the law that God gave through Moses to the Jewish people, and there's a portion of it that pertains to Jesus Christ, His coming, and Christianity as it's offered to all mankind. And we need to get that distinction clearly fixed in our mind to appreciate our studies." And then I went on to just discuss the portions of the book. When I finished, after about 45 minutes of that, I said, "Are there any questions?" And one fellow held up his hand. He said, "Yes, preacher, would you mind repeating that?" And I said, "Well, I can't do it right now, but I'll come back next week and repeat it." And that's exactly what I did. It seems there are there's a very large number of people who, well, they'd like to know more about the Bible, but for some reason or other, they do not take the time to sit down and study it for themselves. And maybe just a summary of matters and a kind of summing up of what may be found there would be helpful to them and to all of us in our reading. And before we're through with this, of course, I hope to discuss with you some of the great themes of the Bible. Themes that run all of the way through. Great themes that will help us to understand the particular teachings of the Scriptures. I suppose you're familiar with the fact that the Bible has 66 books in it, as we now have it divided, and that what is commonly called the Old Testament may be divided like this: 5 books of law, 12 books of history, 5 books of poetry, 5 books usually called major prophets, and 12 minor prophets, although this is not a reference to the prophets themselves nor to their importance. The minor part simply refers to the fact that there's less material, smaller or shorter books. And so we have that kind of a division in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have 27 books, and these books may be divided as follows. There are three books that are commonly called the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John, who's also telling us about the life of Christ. All four of these books tell us of the life of Christ. They're sometimes called biographies. But John has a special reason for writing his book. He tells us so. He tells us he's writing to tell us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, of course, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that also. But John concentrates on that matter. And in the concluding remarks toward the close of his writings, John 20, verse 30 and 31, we read, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So John writes especially to prove the divinity of the Christ. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together tell us of the personal ministry of Christ on earth and lead up, of course, to his crucifixion. Then the book of Acts, which is written by Luke, picks up the story of Christ following his crucifixion, tells us very briefly of the ascension of Christ back into heaven, chapter 1, and then from the second chapter begins to tell us of the history of the church. You might say the book of Acts, some of the Acts of the Apostles, as it is also designated, is a history of the early Christian cause, or of the church. The word church simply means the called out ones, people who have come to God in Christ Jesus. Then we have a number of books, Romans through Jude, most of them written by the Apostle Paul, but these are letters. Now, they're not always personal type letters. Sometimes they're letters in a literary style only, but they are written to various churches or as a theme, for example, the Hebrew letter, written as a theme, to tell us something about our conduct as Christians, warning us to be faithful, pointing out details concerning our work and our worship, showing us by a pro and con, yes and no, this is right, that is wrong sort of way, how we ought to live, how Christians, people who have come to Christ and want to be followers of Christ, should conduct themselves in this life. And then the book of Revelation, it's terribly abused, often misused, but it's an apocalypse. That's a type of literature. It's highly figurative language, and it is an apocalypse of comfort. In a very real sense, it says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It says that despite the many hardships and trials that shall come to pass, and some of them in an immediate sense, as it points out, some of them pointing on down to the future, but that these things will be proofs, if we'll but listen and look and get the lesson, that Jesus Christ is still on the throne, that despite all the hardships that may come our way, that we're more than conquerors in him. And if we'll be faithful, even unto death, that we shall have a crown of life. Or backing up a little bit, looking at the themes of the Bible, seems to me if we go clear back to the book of Genesis, the first book in what is called the Old Testament, we could have a good starting part, a point. The 12th chapter of Genesis tells us about the promise that God made unto Abraham for the building of a people through whom one day Jesus Christ would put on flesh and dwell among men. Now, it's significant that in the book of Genesis, which has 50 chapters, it takes only 11 of those chapters to bring us up to the time of Abraham, and the remaining portion of those chapters, on through 50, to tell us about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their children, and how that they finally were brought to be children of bondage under Egypt. In other words, the details begin at about Genesis 12. Prior to Genesis 12, we have a very sketchy statement about the beginning. And anyone who reads that and recognizes the amount of time, the tremendous number of years that are being spanned can recognize the fact that the writer, who's generally conceded to be Moses, writing about 1500 B.C., was looking back in the same way that Isaiah looks forward. He was a prophet in reverse, so to speak. He was looking back at things that had happened prior to his time, things revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit, and setting before us in a very concise and abbreviated form the idea that God has always existed and that the earth and all that is came into being at his word, and that because man had rebelled against him, because man had sinned, God had planned redemption for mankind. And he sets before us this theme of redemption in Jesus Christ when he tells Abraham, "And in thy seed shall all nations or all families of the earth be blessed." It's important for us to realize that there are these tremendous themes that go through the Bible. There's the promise unto Abraham, and then the building of the nation. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who became the heads of 12 families or tribes, and these 12 tribes took the name Israelites after Jacob, who had been given the name Israel. And these Israelites were then welded into a nation through the hardships they endured in Egypt, and then they were led out of Egyptian bondage and given the law from Sinai and welded into a nation. Joshua led them into the land that God had promised them, and there they were ruled by judges for a time. And then finally they were given a king, Saul, the first king. The second king was David, and then Solomon. Then the kingdom was divided. They had a civil war, the north against the south, the Yanks and the rebels. And this division left 10 tribes to the north, bearing the name Israel, 2 tribes to the south, bearing the name Judah. But after a period of captivity under the Assyrians, the 10 northern tribes under the Assyrians, the 2 southern tribes under the Babylonians, they were released from their captivity, rebuilt the city, reconstructed the temple, and we have about a 400-year period between the Testaments, about 400 years between the history that's revealed in these books and in what we might call the prophets, minor prophets, and the beginning of the New Testament. But with the beginning of the New Testament, we have the fulfillment of things that we can construct through the reading of the Old. This is the interesting part about it, and shows you how this Bible really is a whole. It can be very well welded into one single unit when we begin to realize its purpose. We read from the 3rd chapter of the Galatian letter. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." That's Galatians 3:16. "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect." 430 years after the confirmation of the promise to Abraham, we have the giving of the law from Sinai. Then the 18th verse goes on to tell us, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." That promise was that Jesus Christ would come, and that salvation would be in Christ. And so we're told in the 23rd verse, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And then with the 26th verse we read, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek," that is, so far as God is concerned, he recognizes no nationalities. "There is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Listen next Sunday morning as we go back through some of these tremendous themes of the Bible and try to make as clear as possible this marvelous book of books, the book of the ages, God's holy word. Thank you for listening this morning. And remember, Brother Hartzell is supposed to begin his work with us January 20. Make your plans to be with us for worship and service and for listening to the gospel as preached by Brother Hartzell. Thank you very much.